Las acciones dicen más que las palabras. Abre el Pro Access Tailgate disponible de la nueva Ford F-150. Sí, una puerta oscilatoria de fácil acceso para convertir su cama en tu nuevo taller. Conecta tus herramientas al Pro Power Onboard disponible. Ya sea que necesites soldar o cortar madera, con la F-150 puedes. Fuerza así de inteligente solo puede ser F-150. Construida con orgullo Ford. Pro Access Tailgate disponible en la primavera de 2024.
You are now listening to Get Your Ash with Cornelius and McGee.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Bet Your Ash. May sound a little different to start off right now. Mr. Greg is in Portland, taking care of some business. This is Connor from the Nebraska Hour, and a producer is here, and I'm here with Mr. Neil. How's it going, Neil?
Everything's going good.
Love to hear it.
Alrighty.
And I'm going to take over for Greg's role. I cannot mess this up. We got to start off in the same place. What are we smoking today, sir?
Today we're smoking a throwback. So it's a cigar that you might or might not be able to find. It is a Villiger, and it is called the Villiger Talanga.
Talanga.
Yeah. The cigar that we're smoking right now, it has at least six years on it. And so it's been aging for a while. Should have some good age on it. But this particular cigar, it has a Honduran Connecticut leaf, a Talanga leaf, actually, wrapper from Honduras. It has a Jalapo Habano binder and a mix of Esteli Corojo, Ometepe Habano, and Condega Habano filler leaves. And it should be a really nice light to medium cigar for people who like mellow to medium cigars. If you find this cigar sitting behind in someone's humidor, smoke it. I think it's a good cigar. I've had one before. I thought it was good. It had quite a bit of age on it. And it smoked well. So the thing is, you know, a lot of cigar magazines and cigar websites and blogs, and they sometimes rank a lot of cigars that you can find very easy.
Yeah.
But what happens when you stumble across that cigar that's been sitting in the back of someone's humidor for a while, and it has some age on it? You know,
it's kind of hard to think that you could just go to a ranking site. You know, because a lot of like you said, a lot of that stuff has to be modern. Almost has to be like word of mouth, probably.
Well, some of the information is archived, but what about up to date information where you actually can go and seek it out? You know, it's like, wow, I listened to it. I'm going to call a couple of shops and see if they got some of those sitting on the shelf in the back. Because if so, I know that cigar hasn't been in main distribution for a while, and it's been sitting there. And a lot of cigar shops, sometimes the cigar reps, they like to clean the shelves of older cigars. Sometimes they'll even take trade-ins to get those cigars off the shelf.
True.
And get their new cigars on the shelf, right?
Yeah,
so that's going to sell quicker. Good or bad. If they were good cigars, well, that's great, you know, but we're not distributing that cigar anymore, and we want the up-to-date product on the shelf. So a lot of times certain cigar shops will just say, oh, okay, I'll bring in a new cigar. They bring it in, and when they do, that leaves, you know, these discontinued, if you would, cigars sitting in their back stock.
And they're probably not going to get another refill of like a fresh.
No, because batch of this they're not distributed anymore. Yeah. So
it had its time and light, you know, and it's time to move on, essentially,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So they sit and they sit, and maybe that's not great best practices for tobacconists because you're not moving product. But sometimes, you know, I know myself. Sometimes if it was a good cigar. I'll be like, no, I'll hold on to these,
yeah.
you know, and it was a great cigar. I mean, why would I, you know, trade this in, you know, just because there's a new product out? I'll hold on to it. And, you know, sometime later, in this case, quite some time later, I will put it on my shelf as a re-release, cannot be found, Ooh. You know, cigar.
I like
and
that.
People will be, well, wow, well, how long did you have it? You know, well, I had this aging for this amount of time. It was a great cigar. It's, you know, has a Honduran, you know, origin, very sweet to the taste, this, and that. And it's a treat, you know. And I've done that before on certain other cigars, and people really enjoyed it. Like I said, it might not be... I'm sure that there's plenty of people that would say, hey, you know, you don't want to just have stock sitting. And in this case, I'm pretty sure that this particular cigar was purchased well over 6 years ago.
Damn.
And it's been sitting ever since. But as a true cigar enthusiast,
yeah.
I know the benefit in aging cigars. So I kind of lean towards that sometimes. With the customers and give them, you know, something that they probably can't get as easy anywhere else.
Yeah, and it's definitely kind of like giving them a special experience, mm-hmm. you know, walking them through it, essentially, too.
Exactly.
And I mean, a lot of this happens in the bartending industry as well, or the, I would say, liquor making mm-hmm. aspect of it, with like scotch, you know? Mm-hmm. You lose a lot with the angel share, they call it. So it's the mm-hmm. evaporation with bourbon and scotch. Yeah. And, you know, some things just don't land really. And kind of a little more hit or miss, I would say, on that too, especially if it's a certain barrel or whatever has, like, mm-hmm. you know, a leak or, you know, some damage, whatever it may be. And, yeah, and definitely you can't resell it. But tobacco grown at the same time as well, you know. I mean, I could definitely tell this has a nice age on it mm-hmm. for even something sweet. Definitely, like you said, it's not overpowering by any means. And I'm right. sure with aging of anything, you know, it's going to definitely take away from like a bite of a tequila or the sweetness of something else, you know, kind of like almost like oxidizes it, kind of brings it a little bit more right. calming and stuff like that.
I was
that.
Cleaning out the cigar lockers to reset them up for, you know, during COVID. A lot of people have discontinued their lockers. We're going to reopen up a new membership here at Capital Cigars, including the lockers. So I did find, this would be prior to us selling liquor, which would be sometime before 2009, a particular customer that I believe was just auto paying on a credit card.
Yeah.
And he had a bottle of rum in there, but... It was old. I mean, it was really, really old.
Ooh, like Jack Sparrow old type yeah. stuff, you know, finding in the
unopened,
the beach,
been there a long time.
Message in a bottle type stuff.
And I don't know. I don't know why. People do different things, but I don't know why. But he just kept it. He just kept the locker. And I know I haven't seen him. And unfortunately, I'm here almost every single day. So since 2009,
love.
I could almost say that. I could count the days that I haven't been here.
Yeah.
So I know I haven't seen him, you know?
Yeah.
And
if somebody came in for 4 years, like, I have a special bottle of rum in a locker.
Right.
Somebody's going to tell you about that.
And we don't even allow that anymore for people to keep liquor in their lockers because we have a liquor license now.
Yeah.
You know, so it was definitely pre 2009, but he hasn't been in since. And, you know, I looked it up and it's, the company's out of business. They don't distribute that rum anymore. You know?
Really? What's the name?
Oof.
If you can't remember.
I can't remember. Yeah.
They all have very similar yeah. names, though. You know.
But I gave it a try, and they offered it. This was a 18 year.
Okay.
And they also offered it in like a 23 and a 25 year, right?
Yeah. So that's going to be like the main ages with rum on that, you know. And you could probably get into a sipping rum. But I mean, if it's been in there for 18 years, I mean, it's definitely now at least like a 24.
Well, it's been there at least 11 on top of the 18 that they were saying. So it's, you know, it's been there a long time. So, you know.
How was the color? Was it pretty dark by chance?
It was very golden.
Okay.
Like a dark gold.
So you definitely got the aging process of anything that's like clear. You know, if it's oxidation or, you know, multiple different types of things as well. It's going to give it a nice color.
And I held it up to the light. Just wanted to see if there was any, you know, malfunctions.
Aging, like sediment, you know, and stuff like that.
Stuff that happened. But it was clear. You know, just a dark amber gold look to it, kind of, you know. And I, you know, after calling him and talking to him, he says, yeah, I have no intentions on coming back, but I thought I was, so I kept it going. I'm like, for 11 years.
For 11 years.
Or more, probably. And he's like, you could go ahead and cancel me out. And I was like, well, there's a few cigars in here and some rum. They're like, yeah, you know, I'm not interested. I'm like,
bottoms up, Neil.
Yeah, I'm actually not even living in Colorado anymore. I'm like, okay. I'm like, wow. You know, so cracked it open and just smooth, like it would hit my palate and then disappear.
And that is like the beauty of aging, and at least the liquor world as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there is like a threshold that you hit with cigars. You know, me being a very novice cigar smoker. My knowledge is the extent of me sitting on the couch setting up the podcast. You know, so I'm getting pieces here and there.
You're getting there, Connor.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
So yeah, this particular cigar, it's got some age on it. I do not believe it's in distribution anymore. I went and checked the Villiger website, and I did not see it offered on their website. So I don't think that this particular cigar is, from everything that I've checked. And
probably not like circulation anymore at the moment.
My recent price sheets, I didn't see it on there. So, I don't think that Villiger, that this particular cigar, which is what I was looking to do, is find a throwback cigar and for us to smoke it, have some age on it, and also explain that maybe when you walk into a cigar shop, cigar lounge, you might want to ask that question, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what do you have that...
What do you have that's special that I can't get anywhere else, you know?
Yep, or isn't in distribution anymore, or how long has it sat? And now, instead of having a cigar that you're about to smoke, that you wonder, well, I wonder how this cigar would smoke with, I don't know, 5 years on it, you know, 3 years on it. It already has been aged, not at the manufacturer, not at the distributor, but at the retailer, and it's already aged for you. So now you can just enjoy the smoke.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing today. These cigars are out in our humidor, and that is what where we're starting. We'll revisit this later and see what we like or dislike about it.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's definitely has reminds me a little bit of like an aging, you know, of any spirit and stuff like that. You could definitely still get a few of those notes that are similar, super smooth, but definitely still kind of has that like the character of like, you know, something, you know, definitely on the milder medium side of things as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm enjoying it so far.
All right, well, last week,
our Bears,
the bittersweet,
our Bears, Neil.
Yeah, it's my Achilles heel. I'm still a Bears fan, but...
For life.
Yeah.
A Bears and a Cubs fan. We have, like, the worst curse ever.
I mean, they're going to have to make a move after... That was our pick last week, by the way, the Bears and Lions.
-4. We were up 20 in the second half or something along those lines. I don't know if it was that big.
I don't know. It probably wasn't that. Well, I know in the fourth we're up 10.
Yeah, that's what it was. And the Lions haven't won a game, I think the last 24 games, being down by 10 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And, of course, it just happens to hit against the Bears.
Yeah.
With and a phenomenal defense, the too,
key,
as well.
Right. The key play, and it might – I mean, there's always – you know, well, there was this play, and there was that play, but I'm talking about in the key minutes of the game. You're marching down the score. And Trubisky has the – he drops back. He steps in the pocket. And I don't know if – well, obviously he wasn't throwing – because if so, if he was throwing in a forward motion, it wouldn't have been a fumble. It would have been a forward motion pass. Yeah. But, no, he reaches and just has the ball out. Just, I don't know, pocket awareness. Just certain things that you're not going to catch your higher echelon quarterbacks in the league doing.
Ever doing.
And it gets knocked out of his hand, and there the game pivots.
You know, absolutely. That pressure that the vulnerability that the pressure can like get gives the Bears, like they crumble under it. Yeah. You know, I mean, they started off great, 5-1 early in the year. Oh, Trubisky, the first game coming back, destroying the fourth quarter. We got BDN, Nick Foles coming inside. You know, like just doing his job, and then 5-1, and much talk about the worst 5-1 team ever. We're biased, of course.
Right, right.
Gotta love our Bears, but I mean, it's just I like the pick though. I did like the pick. I bet on it as well. Kind of thought it was a shoe-in towards the end, clearly. But you know, it's crazy. It's a crazy world in this gambling.
The Lions lost their they didn't lose them. Coach was fired.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is a game they should have won, right? They had a chance to be tied with the Vikings 6-6. They're now 5-7.
Which is huge. And we have the Vikings this week, correct?
Huh?
Yeah, I think the Bears have the Vikings this week, too, as well. When you come down to divisional play, I mean, the tiebreakers and stuff are head-to-head matchups.
Right, right.
Which actually crippled me this year in my fantasy football again. 3 years in a row, Neil, best team in the league. Yeah. Only 2 losses.
I think the Bears play the Texans this week. Next week, after that, the Vikings, and the week after that, the Jaguars. So, yeah, I mean, they at 5-7, they have a chance of being 8-8, and for all intentional purposes, out of the hunt.
I saw like SportsCenter was giving it like 4.7% chance or something. They were breaking it down. I mean, we just got to go perfect. Yeah. We got to run it out.
It's not now. It's not. And you never want to be at this time of the year in a place where you don't control what you do.
Yeah. And not even winning gets you to the playoff. You have to win and they have to lose. That's out of your control, essentially. No, but this isn't a Chicago Bears sob story podcast, you know? This is a cigar and gambling podcast. So. Neil's lock was very close. You know,
let's move on to week 14, see what we can find.
I love it. I love it.
The schedule starts out with the Patriots and the Rams tomorrow at 6:20.
What spread you got on that?
Rams at -5 at the moment.
I love. Oh, is it the Patriots?
Yes.
I like the Patriots in that. -5. Coming out strong.
Well, the Rams are -5.
Oh, Rams are -5. So they get 5 as well. Like, the Patriots destroyed. And the biggest beat by an underdog in, like, 55 years or something.
They were 45-0. Who did they beat 45-45? They beat
Wasn't it the Rams? I'm so sorry. It's been a rough week adjusting to the COVID. No, they beat
the Chargers last week. The Chargers, not the Rams. 45-0. Yes. So... and I'm not sure. It was a very thin. It was a very thin spread on that. But still, they're coming off a big win.
Huge, historically huge win.
But,
I mean, just when you get down later in the weeks of these games, what really matters, as you see, what the Bears crumbled on is. Like depth in all positions. and not even just at all your skill positions, your O-lineman. It's like your coach. How are you going to make this play? How are you going to get this done, you know? And, I mean, that's just something Patriots have tenfold.
Right. Well, the Patriots, they're missing quite a few pieces, but
yes,
they also have a coach that knows how to get the most out of every single player.
He knows how to get the job done.
I mean, as far as the lock is concerned, yeah,
I think that's on the definitely other spectrum of the lock. It's more of like the, you know, that's the underdog. That's the upset. Right.
Now, we also have the Titans and the Jaguars. Now, this is one that I marked down on Sunday morning that I kind of like because of the fact that the Titans are coming off a terrible, terrible loss to the Browns, I believe it was. They lost to the Browns.
Browns are looking good.
And you got to give it to the Titans for coming back. But the point I'm making is that they came back they were down by as many as three touchdowns. And they ended up losing, 41-35. Yeah. So they fought at the end. Okay.
The end of half was 38-7. Yeah. Like, that's impressive to get that close. But it's almost can't do it.
So they've got momentum coming into this game. Now, this game is a pivot for the it's a pivot game because this game for the Titans, I believe, is like what will their playoff run look like? Okay, I mean, are they really gonna make a run as deep as they did last year, or are they gonna fold? You know, and at the moment, they are 8-4. Okay,
that's impressive.
So, on a team, they are supposed to. This is a game that they're supposed to win. You know,
yeah.
I
forget what they're favored by, but I mean, it's not by much. Well, but
they have the Tennessee is at -7. They're playing in Jacksonville, but they're -7. Okay, and looking at the spreads, there's only like one or two games with a bigger
spread like that.
Yeah, maybe with a bigger spread than -7.
Yeah, you got Jets and the Seahawks. I think that's Jets 13. And Seahawks. And, everything else is going to be around the 7 and under.
Green Bay and Detroit, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll get to those. But so they're at -7. This is a game that they should win. And
fairly easily, in my opinion.
You know, it's definitely a game that I got that I had in the top three to whittle down to. But we'll keep that at the top of the list. And we'll move on to the Vikings and the Buccaneers. Now, the Vikings and the Buccaneers, Vikings need to win. I mean, they are 6-6 right now. They're fighting for, one of those wild card spots.
They need to pull through. It needs to be the first win from the Vikings against Tom Brady. Tom Brady is 6-0 against the Vikings when he's played them.
Right.
6-0. And like with a glorious record and points scored against them as well. Now, granted, we are definitely talking about a different squad, different environments, and obviously a different year of football, completely. So it's you need to see how this game's going to play out. This is going to be one of my favorite games to watch this week. I love the Buccaneers on this. Like, this is Tom Brady trying to get the job done. Maybe last year, maybe a few more years, maybe a couple more years left. However, like, he has all the spotlight on him. I just don't see him really fumbling and losing to the Vikings for this first time.
Right. Well, the Buccaneers are 7-5, so they definitely need this win as well.
Yes.
The thing is the Vikings can show up.
They can.
They can definitely show up. The spread, like I said, is -6.5.
Yeah, that's what I got it on now.
So it's one of those things where you know, for just a flat out lock, I'm not really comfortable with this particular game because Tom Brady has had some, you know, problems with syncing with all of those moving parts that are good moving parts.
But yeah,
from time to time, they seem a little bit out of sync. You just never know what could happen. And I've already, myself, as well as Timmy Nebraska, has probably for the rest of this season said that, you know, we're not going to take Cousins in anything because he can show up one way one week and show up another way another week.
So, that is very true.
Yeah. So now we'll move on to the next game, which I believe is the obvious lock.
And yeah.
That's the Chiefs and the Dolphins, right?
7-point spread.
Yeah. And it's probably not as obvious as it was last year or earlier this year because the Dolphins have really, really started to, you know, come on. You know,
yeah.
They've started to put, you know, put things together. And, you know, I would venture to say that if Fitzpatrick was, you know, lining up behind center, that this spread would be a lot bigger. So I'm not really sure. And also the fact that with a Bills loss this week, the Dolphins can actually tie for first place. So
yeah. Fitzpatrick, I mean, he is the best quarterback in the first four games of the season.
He could tie for first place.
Yeah, but like in the first four games of the season, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I believe, has the best statistics as an NFL quarterback, maybe in history. This might be just something I'm completely over-exaggerating. However, this is...
Well, he played well, so you can definitely
say that. This is prime time, though.
Yeah. But, you know, you're definitely not going to take the Dolphins over the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to win this game. I don't take this as being a sleeper game for them. You know, they have definitely had some games, interdivision games recently, that were very close.
That is
so
true.
They probably are not going to err too much in this game. So do they cover the 7, you know, the 7 points? I don't know. But an obvious lock to win, of course, the Chiefs. Yes, I had that on the top of my list.
Yeah. But we don't want to go for the money lines. We want to go for the spreads, you know. We can't go for the cop-out on this. I would say, I mean, Kansas City's got to be probably, out of all the games so far, probably the lock. So, you know, keep in mind.
Exactly. Next on the list, we have the Broncos and the Panthers. Yeesh and yeesh. Like, there's, you know, I mean, for the sake of standardization, I'll say that the Broncos will be traveling over to Carolina. Carolina by -3.5. It's not a game that...
it's not going to be the most exciting game to watch.
No.
I'll tell you that much.
No, it shouldn't be.
I mean, Broncos looked pretty good last week, though,
Did.
I mean, you know.
They did, you know. And they're still trying to find out what they have in Drew Lock. Drew Lock, as far as the season, has more deep bombs that connected than anyone else.
It's impressive.
He probably had as many deep bombs that didn't connect, which defines his quarterback rating right at the moment.
True.
So, you know, you can take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
And still, you don't know what you have in Drew Lock, you know?
Yeah, so. And, like, it puts him in a tough position, just coming in really hot. And, like, they expect him to hit a home run, you know? That's like Adam Dunn of baseball. He's going to hit a home run or he's going to strike out. The most home runs, the most strikeouts. And it's – you need to have someone that's more consistent, a little bit more in the middle. But, I mean, he's looking good. He's getting better. I mean, Broncos might be having a pretty solid quarterback maybe a few years down the road. I don't know if that's a little too soon to speak, but, I mean, dude's young. I think he could possibly show up.
Well, the Texans and the Bears are up next. They're, like, right around -1, -1.5. We already talked about the Bears. No need to rehash that.
True
but
that.
The Texans are all but out. of the runnings at 4-8 right now. You know, they've got four more games. They could win out and be 8-8, and the Titans would have to lose out, and the Colts would have to lose out for a three-way tie. And even then, I think they're all but mathematically eliminated. Yeah, I haven't done all the
just about not having
moving pieces to that yet. So they could come out one way or they come out the other. I don't think that they're giving up.
No.
For that same reason, I don't think the Bears are giving up. But I think that, even you got to look at the quarterback position, yeah. Right?
They touch the ball every play. They're in control. They are the right. Like they are the fate of your team.
So the Texans definitely have a more talented player in that position. When you start looking at these games, you can break down a million and one different parameters of the game. But when it really comes down to who is the guy that's going to be controlling and managing a game like this, yeah, you're probably talking about the Texans. But Bears have an unbelievable defense that could play a part in it. But at -1.5, it's not a game that I would consider a lock or consider to put any money
on. Yeah, I'm not even touching that. Right, exactly. And I try not to bet with the team unless it's pretty obvious, you know, and it's mm-hmm. definitely one-sided. But, yeah, this one, I mean, hopefully it's a good game to watch. It's terrible to see the quarterbacks that we could have drafted on the other side of the ball right. playing against us.
Right.
They're going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. It's crippling. It's crippling to me as a Bears fan. But, again, we're not rehashing it. We're moving right. on. We got this. So I would say we're probably still both in agreement. Like the Chiefs -7 is probably where the lock would probably be at.
Or the Titans. Either one of those is where I'm leaning. But we'll move on. See if we can find something else in the schedule here. The Cardinals and the Giants. That's going to be a good game. Just because I believe the Giants are going to come to play. They're in first place in their division at 5-7. Washington with a unbelievable win against the on any given Sunday, right?
I mean, seriously.
They showed up. They beat
Big Ben and the undefeated Steelers.
They beat them. You know, it just goes to show it's the NFL. So
seriously,
you know,
anything can happen, and this year especially. I mean, it really is show up. Who wants to get stuff done?
Right. Right. So, you know, that's not a game that, you know, Kyler Murray is, you know, he's been unbelievable this year. They're 6-6. There's some games that they probably could have pulled out, at least be 7-5 right now.
Yeah. On the positive side of things, looking to close out the season and try to get that spot.
Right, right.
But, I mean, he is so impressive. That Bills game that he had, oh, my God. Like, young quarterback getting stuff done. It is truly impressive to see how he is, acclimated to the NFL.
Right.
Didn't think it was going to be this good, to be honest.
And then the last game on Sunday morning is the Cowboys and Bengals, which, respectfully, are – two of the worst teams they're both in the bottom six or five, I would say, teams in the league right now for different reasons. They both have lost their starting quarterbacks. The Bengals are growing. You know, they are building, growing. You know, I think their rookie quarterback has an unbelievable ton of potential as far as moving forward. Dak Prescott, just an ugly injury.
So
both of these teams are just – you just say if you had to put a quick phrase next to each team to describe them, not this season.
Yeah,
that's the
I like that.
That's the bottom line.
I mean, the Cowboys look fairly good against the Ravens.
Like, yes,
they have. They do have a shortened week. They're three. They got a 3.5 spread. I like the Cowboys on it. Dalton looked fairly good too as well. I mean, you're going against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
If I had to choose, I would choose the Cowboys. Yes, I would. You know, but not for a lock. So.
No.
Starting off on Sunday afternoon, we have the Colts and the Raiders.
That's going to be a great game to watch.
That's right. It definitely is. The Colts are coming in at 8-4, and the Raiders are, you know, as one of the only teams to beat the Chiefs, the Raiders are coming in at 7-5. So, you know, they are definitely in the race. They have to win some games here, and the Colts are, you know, no pushover, you know,
no pushover at all. That defense is something, is a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
They get that ball in that end zone. It's extremely impressive. Like, they get the offense, they provide the offense with so much more time than any team probably, consistently has throughout like the year. Like, they get the ball so much more. They get turnovers. They get blocked punts. They get the job done. And I just don't know if the Raiders have faced a defense at this caliber this year. I think they might have pulled things off over their offensive approach, I would say. However, again, I'm not going to bet this game. Maybe last minute, maybe throw something on it. But like, this is going to be like my favorite game of the week to watch for sure.
Yeah, you could pick this one up with a spread of -3 for the Colts. They're traveling to Las Vegas to play this game. And, you know.
I got the spread moving up to 2.5 right now as well. And I think it like actually might have just jumped up too. So,
gotcha.
I mean, I like the Colts in this game. However, you know, this isn't Survivor League. Timmy said, it's like, we're talking about locks here. We're talking about we could sleep pretty well on knowing that this is going to hit.
Exactly.
Last week, my lock was the Steelers. I thought I was a shoo-in on that. Woke up very upset about that. No fun.
Well, now we move to the biggest spread, and it's the Jets and the Seahawks. Now, you look at this game, the Jets. A little bit of controversy last week. The Jets had an opportunity to beat the Raiders. They had a chance to win their first game. Now, the last play of the game, the defensive coordinator decided to press a blitz. And Ruggs got behind the corner and burned him, and they won the game. And it's one of those things where – and he got fired.
Yeah.
You know? Now
– Big talk this week throughout SportsCenter and obviously the football community.
Yeah. It's – you know, it's one of those things. It's not just – it just doesn't affect – because I hear that there was some sort of controversy between – the head coach and the defensive coordinator, they weren't getting along. There was something going on there. I'm not sure. And that maybe that was done on purpose.
Yeah, possibly. But I mean, like, it's you're a winless team. You're gonna point the finger, you know, and it's unfortunate to see that the head coach is on the offensive side of things as well. I mean, if you turn the tables a little bit, I'm sure the offense is going to be just as held as responsible.
It's not something, you know, if there's a an index card of things not to do from the defensive side in situational football, that would be probably the top of the list, you know?
Yeah, I mean, wasn't it like a safety blitz too as well, like secondary blitz, like absurd stuff? Yeah. Like as a quarterback growing up, if I saw a safety blitz or try to come up and try to pull something like that, me and my wide receiver would know to do a two-step route, your man coverage. You want your playmakers – my coach would always say, give the playmakers the ball so they can make some fucking plays.
Right. And you got one of the fastest receivers in the league and just gets behind the defense. And
two steps, on a sprint as well, like you're gone. Yeah. You know, put the ball up in the air, it's going to happen.
So it just doesn't affect the perception of the head coach on the coordinator. It just doesn't affect the perception of the players to coaching and everything that that's going on. It also affects the fans'
perception. Oh, the morale has to be crippled.
The fans' perception of the team.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if I was a Jets fan, I'm like, okay, yeah, we suck this year, but next year we're going to have probably a decade pick and a quarterback, and we're going to get some pieces, and we're going to move, and we're going to, you know, maybe even make the playoffs.
Trying to make some moves.
You never know. We could even make the playoffs.
I got some news for you, Mr. Neal.
What's that?
Me and you are the Midwestern New York Jets. Okay. We always promise of getting the next year as well in our Bears, and it's a tale as old as time of just crippling.
Well, the problem with the Bears that we always say that, but the reason why we have a problem is because they so heavily invest in their defense that the defense keeps the team in the middle of the pack. You know, at five and, you know, maybe maybe a winning record almost just below or just below a winning record every single season. So they don't, you know, they pick towards the middle bottom of the pack every, so they don't get the, you know.
We can't surpass the Packers usually with a few games as well. Instead, so when we don't do that, now we have to compete with everybody in the division for the wild card. Right. It's a bad approach towards trying to get. You need a little bit more risk taking, I would say, in some of these divisions.
Well, they need to hire a scout consultant specifically for the quarterback position for the next 2 to 3 years. To say, okay, this is what is going to happen, okay? Keep your defense strong. We're going to pick a year from now, 2 years from now, or I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If
you think about it, it was the 10th pick on Mahomes that they passed on.
10th pick on Mahomes. We traded up from 10th to number 2 from the Chiefs, and we took Trubisky. Passed on two first ballot Hall of Famers in Deshaun Watson and arguably probably going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in creativity, flexibility, and changing the game of NFL as we know it in Patrick Mahomes.
Did you know who Mitch Trubisky was when?
Not at all.
Yeah, me either.
I was drinking and my boys had a good time.
I actually thought it was a coach. I don't know why I thought that. That was like a weird
coach name, though.
That was weird.
Coach Mitch, you know, he played D2 fucking football.
But I'm like, no, this
is a DUI.
Draft.
He's a weird guy.
What am I talking about? I was like, receiver, lineman. I was like, Mitch. I don't even remember coming across anyone because I knew we were coming up, you know, for a decent pick. I don't even remember.
And it's the hype of the quarterback. Yeah. And the way Roger Goodell, I believe, said it is like, with the number 2 pick or whatever it was, like, Chicago Bears draft quarterback Mitch Trubisky. And I was like, yes to who the hell is this guy?
Who is Mitch Trubisky?
Right? And now, granted, he's had a tough run at it. The Bears have the most, I've probably said it three times in either one of the podcasts. The Bears have had the most quarterbacks in, it's like 60 years. They've had like 55 starting quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Now, this is like preseason, no injuries. Mm-hmm. This is our guy. This is who we're sticking with. Mm-hmm. And like historically, we haven't even really had a good quarterback, even in our prime time.
No, you have to go back 86, to the 50s.
Yeah, and you have to go way back there as well. And it's just something that we need to change. And if that means sacrificing our defense, if we're keeping it so close, we need to be able to bridge this gap early. We don't have to be the fourth quarter team. Our fourth quarter stats were phenomenal this season, and first half. Probably in the lowest percentile. So it's a tough trade-off.
They literally sold the farm for Mac. They literally sold the farm. The thing that I'm saying is that they really, truly believe in defense. They do. And that's good. But you have to have somebody behind center that is – somewhat competent.
Yeah, or you have to have the greatest running back of all time behind you. Nobody nobody right. had the confidence, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm too young to know. Mm-hmm. But talking to everybody in my family, talking to you and mm-hmm. everybody from Chicago, nobody had that confidence in McMahon.
Right.
We had that confidence in Sweetness. Right. A generational player, you know, talked about the best of all time, mm-hmm. whatever. Just changing the game. And that's what Mahomes is doing right now in Kansas City. That's what these individuals are doing, bringing this college West Coast offense to saying that.
No, I think when the confidence came in, the confidence in 85 came in Ooh. In speaking with the defense.
Yeah.
You can't really have a conversation of one of the best NFL defenses of all time without talking about the 85 Bears.
85, 86 Bears, yeah. From Perry to everybody. Like, it's – and that was back when the game was, like, meaner, you know? And mm-hmm. that's when it was fought with – that was more truly of a game of inches. When we say the game of inches, we think of, like, oh, he dove in and he almost got there. No, the game of inches meant that, like – you need to get 3 yards or 4 yards a run, and if you get 3 yards, now I put you in a different position.
Right.
If you go run the ball 4 yards every play, you win the game. Yeah. In theory, you know. So it's
13.5 points for the Jets.
Yes, we are
who
getting a little bit off track.
Yeah, 13.5 points for the Jets that actually, the Seahawks are not the Raiders, but. My point being is that I don't know. I mean, they might cover it at 13.5 points.
I think the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks get that 13 points.
You think so?
I think they just come out, get it done, and once you put that pressure on that team, it's extremely tough to not have that like that dynamic offensive player. You know. Yeah. I mean, shit, the Bears got to the – I know we're talking a lot about the Bears. But, like, even when they went to the Super Bowl, like, mm-hmm. even if we couldn't get anything on offense, we still had Devin Hester mm-hmm. in the backfield, you know, our right. returning kicks. So if you don't have that dynamic motivational player, you know, somebody who just makes an absurd play to really drive, and that one person can actually do that. Like, I just see the Seahawks coming out. They're at home. Mm-hmm. It's Seattle. The weather out there. Who knows what's going on? I think the Seahawks actually cover this fairly easily, and it's the biggest spread of the week. But again, this isn't my locks. Yeah. I'm not too sure on that. But I mean, it's
well. Whenever you're talking about a game like this and it being close, how close do they get to the quarterback? And the Giants, they put some hands on Russell. I mean, I always say Russell Westbrook. The Seahawks quarterback.
Oh, Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Russell Wilson. They put some hands on. Yeah. So it made it tough. And, you know.
Fourth down conversions and stuff, getting the pressure on it.
And
you saw him flustered. And, again, when the quarterback touches that ball every time and you need that fourth and one, you see him getting flustered.
I mean, they only scored 12 points.
Yeah, which is.
Right. That actually, you know, went into, I believe they went to they played in New York, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's what we were talking about. It wasn't a, so it was a West Coast to East Coast, I mean, yeah, West Coast to East Coast game. I don't know if it was in the morning or not, but. There was that factor. I don't know if that was as big of a factor than, you know, the fact that they were able to get to him. And, you know, you can't count the Jets out. You know, Washington, you know, they took care of I mean, we're talking about everybody from this division just coming and
they're showing
you
up.
Know, Yeah, you know, come in now. The Eagles and the Cowboys didn't quite do as well, but and the Jets aren't in that division. But but I'm just saying, some of the teams at the bottom of the standings, you know, says, well, hey, maybe we don't have all of these this scoring machine, but what we do have is hard work, grit, and defense. Anyone can play defense.
Straight up, and that wins you championships.
Right. Anyone can play defense. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to have a Deion Sanders type corner, but
yeah.
you can put the pressure on and play hard.
And you put the pressure on arguably another Hall of Famer, Russell Wilson. Right. You put the pressure on him and you see how it affects him. Right. And, you know, in, as a defense, you can adapt. You have to adapt. Essentially, you're trying to mirror somebody else. Mm-hmm. And you have that flexibility. And in offense, you have to be more creative, a little bit more out there, I would say, if you're trying to drive something a little bit more unique.
Right.
And, I mean, it looked good.
It'll be interesting to see if the Seahawks cover. But, you know, if I had to put some money, I like the Jets. You know,
really?
I don't know if it's a sympathy thing or whatever, but they played their butts off, and
Seattle didn't. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. Like that's actually.
Well, I'm not going to say Seattle didn't. Like they played the Giants the last.
Oh yeah,
week,
I mean I'd say that.
And the Jets played the Raiders, but what I'm saying in those two different games, I saw, you know, Russell Westbrook get shut down a little bit. And I also saw the Jets really win their first game. It's just that, you know, you had a coach with another agenda and did some, you know, I mean, no one does that, you know.
Nobody does that.
There was another agenda, and maybe because of the dislike he had for the head coach that much, he decided, you know what, I'm going to make you 16-0. We're not going to win this game. I'm going to call a safety blitz. It's conspiracy.
Oh my
but
god! I don't know if anybody has that personal vendetta against an individual. I mean, shit.
You have to ask what reason. What other reason at that juncture of the game, end of the game, you're winning the game. Okay,
yeah.
All you have to do is keep them
hold
out.
On, white knuckle that, you know, get through it.
That's all you have to do.
And I mean, it provides a good complex, and like you. Like watching over quarantine and everybody all the time, uh-huh. Watching The Last Dance, you saw what the, you know, Papa Phil. Like you saw how GM Jerry, what's his, I've always forget his last name.
Krause.
Yeah, Jerry Krause. And you saw that dynamic as well. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, sometimes, I mean, there's a lot of politics that goes into these things. And, you know, sometimes you got to trim the fat and like, you know, adapt and take that left turn.
Right. Next on Sunday at 2:25, we have the Green Bay Packers and the Lions. Green Bay the Packers are not the Bears, and they will beat the Lions. Just that simple. And they're another 7.5 spread right now. So, you know, there's a lot of, this is probably, if you're in a survivor league and you, are in week 14, you probably, I mean, if Timmy Nebraska was in week
14.
A lot of these teams he had not yet picked, he would be in good shape. So
yeah, so close. He was so close.
Yeah,
if he got there, I mean, he planned it well.
The Cousins effect, you know.
It's very tough.
Yeah. The Packers, you know, I'm actually going to put a number of picks this week, you know, which are pretty obvious picks, but I'm going to put those out there. The Packers, so far, Packers, Lions, Chiefs, Dolphins, and also the Titans, Jaguars. I think all three of those teams not only win, but they also cover, respectively.
Okay.
So
I say we have our top three.
Yes.
And before I give my opinion on that as well,
okay.
If you probably got to put some thought in it, what is this week's Neil Lock of the Week?
Well, those are the three. Those are the top three. But let's finish out the schedule.
Oh, so and sorry. I'm jumping the gun here.
Yeah.
I thought we might have been there.
No. We got five more games. We have the Falcons.
So far off.
We have the Falcons and the Chargers. Equally, you know, I don't like to be negative in these situations, but both equally disappointing this year.
Yeah. Not exciting.
No. And they're 2.5. You know, it's a game that I can sidestep and watch while I'm eating. It's a 2:25 while I'm eating my lunch. So
yeah,
there's that.
Waiting for the primetime games, you know.
Yep. Washington 49ers. Yeah, it's, you know, maybe Washington had their Super Bowl. last
week.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's a 3-point spread only. Yeah. That number seems low to me.
Yeah.
I mean, they came off of the biggest win of the year so far. So, I mean, who knows? They could jump into this, right into it. But mm-hmm. you're talking 3-point spreads at the Niners. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how they even get close. And, like, Vegas is definitely favoring one side of the two. I think I have like minus 120, minus 100 on one of the two in favor of the Niners. So, yeah, I don't see the Washington football team doing that again. Mm-hmm. Look at me, though, too, by the way, to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Doing so well by calling them the Washington football team.
There you go.
Greg, if you're listening to this, I know you're proud right now, bud.
We have a box that, you know, you make that mistake, you got to put a dollar in it.
So. No dollar today, sir. Okay. No dollar. All
right, we're not done yet.
That is true.
The next one is the Saints and Eagles. Now, for different reasons, I wanted to put this as a four-way consideration for the lock for this week.
Okay.
But the Eagles, they did switch quarterbacks. You just never know what's going to happen. You know, this could be that one game. It seems like everyone is kind of having that. The Chiefs have been able to fight off their one, you know, sleeper game, the Raiders. And then with the Broncos, they've been able to fight that off. But the Steelers did not this past week. However, the Eagles, even in a division that is in horrific shape as far as...
It's in shambles. Yeah.
Wins versus losses. But teams are starting to turn up. And they are 3-8. So there's that. And
they do have a fresh quarterback making his first start. And quote-unquote, by all, I believe the Eagles head coach is saying, we are trying to find that spark again. Mm-hmm. And can't hurt do it.
Right. And so that 6.5 might, you know, might not, the Saints might not be able to cover that, you know. So you just don't know. You don't know.
I could see the Saints blowing that up, you know. Maybe crumbling. But, I mean, like, the variables, again, are, I would say, too much. And, you know, mm-hmm. can't really hone in. Can't narrow down the lock.
Yeah. So that's why it's not in the yeah. top of the list. But next, we have the Steelers and Bills. This is going to be a good game.
Great game.
This was supposed to be the, like, one of the only games that the Steelers might have some static with. To get out undefeated, but turned out Washington proved differently. But yeah, so this here particular game,
it'll be interesting to see how they go about it now. Being like obviously the shoe-in for the playoffs, and now they don't have the pressure of the undefeated mm-hmm. season. Do they hold back? You know, maybe yeah. save some a little bit for the finishing obviously approach mm-hmm. of the season as well, or do they say like, no, we need to come out, you know, kick some ass, let's get a win against a team that is just great.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love me some Josh Allen.
Yeah, well, they're
great quarterback.
They're -2. The
it's going
the Bills.
It's going down. It's going to -2.5.
Yeah, it's probably going to
pretty
gonna
favorited that way too. I think I got 120 and 100 minus.
It's
going to
be in the other way. The if you can get the Bills at -2. I say that this
might take that.
Yeah, this might be the place to put your money because I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't know. Greg knows these questions and things that, you know, that by the time of kickoff it's down at one or it's actually yeah. in the opposite direction where, you know, the Pittsburgh is -2, you know. So my point is that I do believe Pittsburgh, they win this game. I do believe
really?
They, yes, I believe Pittsburgh wins. I believe, yes.
I mean, they do have a lot. They do have a lot of attention on them, and they do got to show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a weird week of the season for them to be like, okay, now are we going to overexert ourselves by chance? They're at Buffalo. It's... stuff, and I would say out of all the picks so far, that might be the one I'm on the other side. I I like Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the offense. The Bills are showing up this year mm-hmm. and playing some great games. Bad losses, some close ones, and I just think the Steelers reevaluate now. They don't need this as well. They were talking about being like the Bears being the worst 5-1 team, that they're the worst undefeated team ever. Like, who mm-hmm. gives a shit? Like, 11-0, you know? Mm-hmm. Now 11-1. Now it's like, okay, well, now we're playing for the championship, in which if you know anything about football, Pittsburgh Steelers can win some damn championships, you know? Yes,
they can. And not only that, you know, just so happens that the Steelers and the Bills are both in the AFC, so I don't know. Maybe this is a team that they could see in the future, possibly. True. So,
well, that's a good point on that as well. You know,
so why not? You know, and Tomlin, come on, he's going to be like, hey,
yeah,
hey, you know, we're going to. So, you know, you look over there. You got the Chiefs.
He's a tough coach. He doesn't want to appear weak as well. And I mean. I may have to reevaluate on how I'm going to view how the Steelers are going to come out this
week. I mean, in the AFC, you got the Titans. I mean, you got to still look at them. The Colts, working from the bottom up, you got the Colts, maybe the Titans. Then you start getting into maybe the Dolphins. And I'm sorry, not the Dolphins. Maybe the Bills.
Yeah.
And perhaps the Browns.
Browns are good.
And then you get to the top where you're looking at the Chiefs and the Steelers. I'm just talking, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I like the way you're looking at it.
Percentages of, you know, winning or what have you. And for that reason, yes, in playoff mode, the Steelers should be able to take out the Bills, right? Mm-hmm. And here's a game where we're only a few games separated from, you know, four games or so, depending on certain teams of where they are. Certain teams haven't played their 13th game yet.
Yeah.
I don't think any have. I think they're all at 12. But anyway, my point being,
with the bye week, though, and the postponements and stuff, you know.
I mean, we're talking within three, four game range. What do you sleep on this game and then say, "Yeah, we'll see you guys in the playoffs"? Nah, you bring the pain. You know what Straight I'm saying? Up. So
you set that precedence for when or if, and most likely if or when I see you in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you're gonna remember this. We're gonna know how we pressured you into these points, exactly. And you know, if it's a tight fourth quarter, we're gonna know how you responded in this, and we're gonna know exactly. how you adjusted and what your mindset is as well. And also, if you won and you did it this way, you're gonna have to switch that up. You know, we're gonna focus on these deep balls, we're gonna focus on these out routes, whatever it may be, and you're gonna, you know, have them roll that dice again and see how they can creatively come up, put together scoring drives. Don't get stopped in the red zone. And this is for all teams. But in a tough AFC right now, like these are very close games to watch. And I think this week is a pivotal point to see how the remainder of the regular season is going to unfold. There's only a few games left anyways.
And all I'm saying in this particular game is one of the things that I'm looking at is I used to, when I was a teenager, I learned a lot of different things from a lot of different people as far as just doing a lot of things. You know, people used to say I'm a jack of all trades and not even out of high school, right?
Yeah.
I had a lot of tools. I took a lot of trade. I went to an awesome vocational high school where they had auto shop. They had architectural drawing. They had
machine shop.
They had a machine shop. They had a typesetting and printing shop. They had a building construction trade shop where you'd go and leave out for four periods to work on a job site building a house. They had
a wood shop.
They had all these different shops. They had an electronics lab, you know, and then also electricity was in there as well. And so I, you know, I wanted to take all of these. You know, I tried to do as many different things as I could. Then during the summer, I would hook up with different people to learn different things. You know, so by my senior year, I took on this project for someone in the neighborhood with someone who was a member of Mensa and also worked for, I forget the company he worked for and the part of government he worked for. I don't want to say NASA for a while, but he worked, he had some pretty high
end. If it's in the Chicago area, I'd guess BP oil.
It could be. I don't think it was an oil company. But anyway, he was, yeah. he had some jobs in his career that were pretty unbelievable. And he was like the only one on the block with a heated driveway. He never shoveled his drive. Yeah. He was, you know, he was on a whole nother level as far as doing things.
Always had one of those on the block out there, you know?
Yeah, so we both showed up, and he was much older. He was in his late 70s, and here I am a teenager. So, you know, for a little bit of lifting and things like that, he needed me. And I showed up with my own tools. He showed up with his own tools. And it's like every time I pulled out a tool, he pulled out another tool that was better suited for what was being done. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to strip these down and I'm going to twist them or whatever. And he's like, oh, well, this tool right here can actually strip and twist, you know. You know, oh, this right here can actually do this and this can. And I'm like, good Lord, you know. Yeah. I was like, I've done this work and I'm fast at what I do and I'm good at what I do. But he's got the tools to do it. My point being, the Bills are 1-2 years up and coming. The Steelers, they've been there.
They're trying to.
They've got the tools in the toolbox and the tools in it to you know. And that's my point is,
it's where the enthusiasm meets experience. Like correct. That is it's a beautiful, like, delicate dilemma.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, experience is gonna prevail. It's gonna pull through that.
I take the Steelers in this one, and I believe that there's money to be made on the spread. I mean, it's
I believe it's going to be a tight game for sure.
Yeah. The last game of the week is going to be the Ravens and Browns. Ravens are fighting for their life to get into the playoffs, and the Browns are in the playoffs. I think that – I don't know. I mean, perhaps –
Ravens minus one.
Yeah, you know. Maybe the Ravens create a little bit of a problem – for the Browns with, you know, the quarterback situation with the Ravens that, you know, Harbaugh exploits a lot of different aspects of the run game of, you know, with their quarterback and kind of keep the Browns in their heels. And
I mean, you saw him do that on that 4th-and-2 play. Lamar had that 30-yard run. Mm-hmm. 4th-and-2, you're not having a quarterback spy. You're not giving that attention, you know. Mm-hmm. And beautifully designed play right up the middle, untouched, mm-hmm. you know, 30-yard tutty. And, like, that is where the experience and the enthusiasm. And I think, like, that they have a beautiful dynamic with Lamar having that enthusiasm of being – the man wants to be one of the greats. And he wants to be – he's not a showboater. He is a phenomenal athlete that can do things that – only one other quarterback can do, but in a different realm in the league, and that's Mahomes. Like, they are both so unique in how they approach the quarterback, the NFL quarterback position. And I don't know. I'm looking at this spread, Neil, minus one, and it's not getting a lot of favorites right now. Browns are in the playoffs. Ravens have to get there. This is probably the one bet this week that I'm, like, disagreeing with so far on the Vegas aspect.
I
don't know.
I mean, the Browns are definitely not locked in the playoffs.
True that.
I mean, they're only 9-3 at the moment. I mean, you've got the 8-4 Colts, you know, that are fighting for the division and can theoretically also fight for the wild card. You have the 8-4 Dolphins, which are doing the same thing. Respectively in their division. So it's not necessarily a given. So this is a game that, they definitely need to win. And, you know, looking at their schedule, it might be, I mean, I'm not really sure what I believe if you look at the rest of their schedule, they do play the Steelers for the last game of this year, season, but the Ravens, and then you got the Giants and the Jets. So for the Browns to play, they'll be playing the Browns the week after this week, and the Jets the week after that, and then the Steelers. So, you know, if they lose this game, that puts them at 11-5. So that should be good. But you just, I think I'm sure that that's good. But I don't know.
I think this week is really the, I mean, clearly that's where all the attention is percentage wise and who's making the playoffs.
I mean, I've
this
seen some 10-6 teams not make the playoffs, but 11-5, I don't think
so. Yeah, usually in the AFC too with that.
So anyway,
out of all these games,
yeah.
I know you said we have the three locks on there, and I think we're pretty set on this. And before I give my opinion, would love to hear the Neil Lock of the Week. Be the first one.
Well, like I said, I like the Titans and Jags. I like the
Chiefs.
The Chiefs and Dolphins. And I also like the what was the other one? Jeez. Packers and Lions. Packers and Lions, they're in the same division.
Yes. And you also had the Tennessee and Jaguars in the same division.
Yeah. I don't see the Lions beating the Packers, even though they are, I mean, they're not fighting for anything. Same thing with the Jaguars. You know, it might benefit them not, you know, to win because now they're in the race for the draft first pick. True. You know? So
I mean, it's really tough to think that an NFL team would think like that with a finite amount of games. Basketball, I would say, is a different story. But
well, they came close last week.
They did.
So. Against the Vikings, a game very close.
I think with like this week being a very probably the most. I mean, obviously every week's the most watched, but like with this having a lot more consequences that can happen with a sloppy loss or anything like that. Like this week, you could lose the playoff position with one loss, and then two people in your division making a win. I think the divisional football games this week are going to be a lot more fought out by smaller points, not more blowouts. People are going to come up to show. And, I mean, so I don't want to jump the gun on your pick, though, before. I do have my pick.
Well, they're all right around 7.5. I do like Green Bay against Detroit and Green Bay to cover.
Okay.
I
would not go with that. That was actually probably even my third out of the last.
Your third on it?
Just, but I mean.
Well, I think they fought against everything and they beat the Bears last week.
Yeah. Right?
I don't think that they game plan up. I don't think
they can do that against the Packers.
I think they have a one-dimensional game plan, and when those house of cards fall, that everything else falls, and they definitely, the Packers cover. Now, when it comes to the Miami Dolphins against the Kansas City Chiefs, I do believe that the Dolphins are, you know, constantly saying, hey, we have to get ourselves, you know, playoff ready. We're fighting for the division. I don't care if it is the Chiefs. I don't give a care who it is on the other side of the ball. We need to win, and we need to win now. And if this happens, you know. So I could see the Dolphins probably. And they've had two games with the Raiders and the Broncos going up against the Chiefs. And seeing how they actually game play, they have a couple of blueprints, and the Dolphins are a better team in my eyes, the Dolphins are a better team than both of those teams.
Yeah. Yeah, so I agree with that.
My point is they have more of a reason, and they also have more data.
More study material on
On the Chiefs to go in and to get it done.
Ha. That's something I didn't think about.
And I'm not just saying a lock for a win. I'm talking about a lock to also cover.
Really?
That would be a lock for me.
That
so
would be a lot.
I believe Green Bay definitely covers, and I do not feel as well in choosing the Chiefs over the Chiefs over the Dolphins, and after what the Jaguars did last week, I definitely don't see the Titans and the Jags. So
yeah,
that's my point.
And I would say, I mean, like hearing the way you describe it, you have definitely more. I would say like the mathematical approach, like the variables from the Titans, the Jaguars, mm-hmm. the Dolphins, the mm-hmm. Chiefs. We've seen how the variables can literally get turned on its head, and the Chiefs getting held down to almost, right. you know, the Broncos game. And you see all these things. Derrick Henry gets shut down. What the hell do you have? I mean, like, it's right. It cripples you. So right. I
put that one at number three, and I put the Chiefs-Dolphins at number two, and then I put the Green Bay at number one.
Hearing us talk about these games right away, I had those three flipped the other way around. However, after this the quick discussion over it, I may have to reevaluate.
Well, you got your pad out. That's what this is all about. Why don't you jot those down?
Oh, they're jotted.
And we'll talk about those next week. Greg will be back, but, you know, we'll talk about those.
Absolutely. And right. for me to be around this Bet Your Ash and the Team of Nebraska Hour, it is to make me a better sports gambler and to stop picking 10-team parlays because they don't really hit that often, you know? Speaking of Greg as well, I believe he would like to give a call in, give a little shout-out as well while he is up in Portland. So we're going to take a quick break. But for you guys, it'll probably be instantaneously. And we're going to get Greg on the phone, say what's up, hopefully. And, just give a nice little farewell and see what we got this week for Neil's Locks.
All right.
All right. Be right on back.
Mr. McGee.
Yo, what's up, buddy? How are you?
What is going on?
I am in Portland, Oregon. And I'm kicking it with our homie, Binsky.
Yes.
And we are working on some merch. Merch. Bet Your Ash, among other things nice. That we're working on.
Nice.
One of them is some merch.
Oh, have you gotten any significant smoking done?
I have. I literally smoked cigars my entire drive from Denver to Portland. Nice. And then yesterday in the evening, I went for a little walk. It's kind of damp here, but I went for a little walk and had an Oliva Serie V Melania. It was great. Yeah, that's one of my faves.
Nice, nice.
What cigar did you guys smoke for the podcast this week?
This was a throwback week. So what we're smoking, you can't buy. It is a Villiger Talanga. Okay.
Talanga.
It's not distributed by Villiger anymore. And so what we talked about in the beginning of the episode was when you walk into a cigar shop, cigar lounge, sometimes it's good to ask the question, hey, do you have any cigars that are no longer distributed? Do you have do you have anything that you've had in your back stock for a while because
where's the secret stash? Where's the secret stash?
You might find something that, and they're like, yeah, we got this box of Soprano CAOs that, you know, it went out, what was that, 07? When did the Sopranos go off the air?
I want to say it's 08 or 09, but that's when they rebranded it as the Consigliere.
Right. Oh, yeah. So it was before then. So just imagine if one of those boxes are sitting up there. That's a fine. I'll buy the whole box. Yeah. You know?
I'll take the box. Exactly.
Now, on the flip side, as far as best practices, I might be called a bad tobacconist because you want to move merchandise. You say, hey, I got this box that's been sitting up here for 6 or 7 years. And they're like, yeah, you know what? You don't know what you're doing. You know, if you have to hold on to that box for 6 or 7 years, then you're not doing it right. But
as you're messing up.
Yeah, as I told Connor, is that I also err on the fact that I'm kind of a cigar enthusiast before I became a tobacconist. So I like to see the way cigars behave when you put 6, 7, 10, 12 years age on them and see how they smoke. So
I get it. Makes sense to me.
If I like it, somebody else would like it. So I put a little sticker, call it a re-release, and people are like, yeah, let me have one of those.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, another question. So the Neo locks haven't really been working. So literally, like, let's call this your last chance, bro.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I came triple fisted this week, man.
Okay.
I came with the Titans and Jaguars. I came with the Packers and Lions. And I came with the, one second. And I also came with, one second. I'm sorry. Looking
so at my notes. You like the Titans minus points against the Jaguars, correct?
No, actually, I was saying that the Jags. Okay, so Titans, Jaguars, Chiefs, Dolphins, and the Packers, Lions, and the only, obviously, again, the Packers on the Lions, that the Packers are the only safe to cover.
Oh, so you like the Packers to cover mm-hmm. against the Lions.
Correct.
You like the Jaguars to beat the spread against the Titans.
Uh-huh.
And what was the third game you were talking
Dolphins,
about?
Dolphins-Chiefs.
And you like the Dolphins to keep it close? That number's too big. I think you're absolutely right there.
Yes.
I think you're absolutely right on that.
And the Jags almost...
Those are
the Jags those almost won last year. See? So I said... Now, so I put Green Bay to cover. I put the Chiefs, all three of these games are at 7, 7.5 right now, you know? So
I love it. I think I love all three of these picks, dude.
So I was like, man, I'm feeling a little shaky on a single pick, so I'm gonna throw a little, I'm gonna throw a little spray at everybody, and it's a good week for that, you know. I think all three of those. What do you think?
I love it. I think that I'm with it. I'm not making very good picks lately. I'm having a rough year, so whatever you got, I'll rock with.
Yeah, you know, I'll be a Bears fan, but for the rest of this season and until. They have a quarterback without
good
the
quarterback?
Initial
yeah.
MT or NF, then I'm done with them. So, but I'm still a fan. Right. I'm still a fan, but I'm done.
Well, listen, I'm gonna send you over a PDF with all these T-shirt ideas we have, awesome. And so whatever you let me know, and you let Vinsky know which ones you like and dislike.
Okay,
and then. I know Tyler's got a question for you, so you should take his call next, okay, brother?
All right. Hey, man, you got to drive through Wyoming, right?
I'm going to take the scenic route back. Uh-huh. I'm going to go up to Spokane and over to Billings and visit Tyler and then drive straight down. So I'll be back late Sunday night, so I'll see you on Monday. I'll see you on Monday.
So you don't have to go through Wyoming?
Just for I'm going to have to go straight down through Wyoming from Montana down to Denver, right? I already drove across Wyoming on my way out here.
All right. Well, don't text and drive, but I don't know that many people. Actually, I don't know anyone in Wyoming, and I always wanted to say my homie in Wyoming. So if you if you call me, whatever, I was like, my homie in Wyoming, and it actually will work. All right. Hey,
I'll call you.
Drive safe, and I'm going to get Tyler on the phone to find out this question from one of our listeners.
All right. I love you. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Take care, man.
Later.
Tyler, how's it going?
What's up, Neil? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. You know, not a lot of lounge business here in Colorado. With all the bans on, you know, restaurants, businesses, bars, you name it, they're all closed down. So,
right. Did you guys go into a second wave of shutdowns there?
Yes, yes. So we can do curbside, pick up, carry out, but that's about it. Oof. So, yeah, it's a little slow right now, but we're going to all get past this, and you'll come back down here to Colorado and we'll sit down and have a smoke.
You already know.
But until then, what are our listeners talking about? What questions do we have?
So I thought this one was interesting. Jeff from North Dakota goes, he says, you know, we all know we need to keep our humidors below 70 degrees to avoid any risk of tobacco beetles or anything like that. But is there a too cold? Is there a point at which your humidor is too cold? The storage can damage the cigars.
That's a good question. As far as tobacco beetles, right? Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
I'm here in Colorado, and I would say 100% of the cigars that are shipped in are not from Colorado.
Right.
So for that reason, the tobacco beetle potential for infestation would not take place here in Colorado, or for that matter in Billings, Montana.
Right.
Or most of the cities or places in the United States. So for that reason, the humidity would be the key issue. And temperature plus moisture is what gets us to the perfect humid environment in a humidor.
Right.
For that reason, I wouldn't sit my humidor in my freezer. I'm not a big proponent of putting cigars in freezers. A lot of people say, well, you know, I got these cigars that someone brought me back from Cuba. So I want to put them in the freezer to kill any tobacco beetles. And then I'm going to take them, thaw them out, and put them in my humidor. Well, a cigar leaf is very durable. Some of them are more durable than others. But the point that I'm making is when you freeze a cigar leaf and then unthaw a cigar leaf, you kind of jeopardize the integrity of the cigar. You might end up with clogs. You might end up with leaves bunching together and other things like that.
Sure, just from expansion and contraction. Yes,
exactly. And if it's a thin structured leaf on the wrapper, you might get cracks. You might get all kinds of things. So My thing is when it comes to temperature and humidity, it's more of an issue to be careful not to get mold, but the tobacco beetle situation, I've talked to a lot of people about their humidor maintenance, and if they didn't have a tobacco beetle problem, getting a tobacco beetle problem other than bringing in a cigar that might have tobacco beetles, you know, would be the only way that that would happen. Okay. And you got to understand too, that cigar manufacturers, it's a serious situation for them too. So, right. You know, we're talking about 50, 25, 100, 125 cigars or 200 cigars, you know, that somebody might have in their personal humidor. Well, they have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cigars, you know, so they're not going to jeopardize that in any way by, you know, making it conducive for tobacco beetles to infestate their entire, you know, storage of cigars. So
sure. Let me backtrack a little bit. So if I understand his question correctly, he's not concerned about beetles. His concern is there a point where you're damaging the cigar? Besides, you know, it sounds like obviously you want to keep your cigar in ideal conditions. We don't want to cause clogging. We don't want to cause structural issues or cracks, which would ruin the cigar. But is, you know, short of something like that happening, is there a storage condition that would ruin your cigar if they were kept too cold for too long? Without a doubt. Without a doubt, your cigar's ruined. It's been at this temperature for too long.
No. Same thing with humidity. No, if there's been times I've left cigars in the car when, you know, a week, 2 week cold snap of.
I just found a 4-pack in my backpack that I must have packed up for like Halloween or something.
Yeah. So, you know, it happens, you know. I would say, you know, you want to keep it in that range of about 68 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit, and the humidity between 70 and 75 degrees Fahrenheit, and you should be okay. But you don't, if it drops below there, you'll probably notice the humidity has also dropped. But if that does happen, it's not a, you know, dead to right that the cigar is ruined, you know.
Sure.
So it's a good question. We always talk about humidity, but we don't always talk about temperature, you know. Right. And the temperature, you know, it's important, you know, it is important.
That's good to know. And yeah. I mean, you know, I imagine too, Jeff is in North Dakota, so he probably gets some colder temperatures and maybe right. Storing his cigars in the basement or something.
Yep. You know, that. So,
Try to stay above 65 there.
And once again, you know, that's not 65. That's not going to destroy the cigar. So, you know, so yeah, where was he?
North Dakota.
Well, hey, And what was his name? I'm sorry.
Jeff.
Well, thanks, Jeff, for that question in North Dakota. And coming into the winter months, that's probably a very important question. And Tyler, if someone else has a question, how do they reach out to us?
If any questions you may have, cigar-related, send them on in. We're at ask@betyourash.com, ask@betyourash.com, and we'll sift through them, pick out the ones we like or think are interesting, and get them aired.
Awesome. Hey, Tyler, thanks a lot, man. We'll holler at you next week, all right?
Thanks for the info, Cornelius. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right, Mr. Neal. Mm-hmm. So,
another great question from Tyler and our listeners.
Yes.
You know, we always think about humidity, but we don't always consider the temperature. It's important.
It is.
And this is a 70-70 rule. They keep the temperature around 70, keep the humidity around 70.
Yeah,
and 70-70 rule.
I'm sure give or take on either side, you know, doesn't really sway it too much as well.
Exactly.
Like possibly with the cigar we're smoking on right now,
yeah,
you know, being a little bit more aged, you maybe have to maybe pay a little bit more attention to stuff like that, I would say.
Yeah, more age on, there's a little bit more age on that cigar. Yeah. You're right. You know, it's been sitting there for a while.
A little more fragile possibly as well.
Exactly. But, what do you think about the cigar?
I enjoyed it. Yeah. For me, being a novice cigar smoker, you know, usually liking the lighter side of things as well. Mm-hmm. I usually kind of, the taste profile that pops in my head is like the blondes of beer. So a little bit more light, a little more summery is usually what I like. But as like a whiskey and bourbon drinker and a scotch drinker, I love a little age. And I definitely get to taste, you know, some age in the cigar.
Well, I was fortunate to smoke this cigar 6, maybe even 7 years ago. And I could definitely taste the age effect on the cigar.
Ah, that's awesome.
And that's the whole, that to me, that is the entire beauty of cigars. It's the beauty of having a humidor. If not, you could just take them, put them in a plastic bag with a little bit of humidification and throw them in a closet and smoke one when you want to, right?
Yeah.
But the true beauty in cigars is, you know, finding that diamond in a rough, finding that cigar that, hey, you know, they don't even make these anymore. Mm-hmm. Pick them up over there. Hey, and it's got 6 or 7 years on it. It's smoking good today. You know, that to me is my blend of bringing my, you know, cigar enthusiasm along with being a tobacconist and bringing it all to, you know, the people here at the lounge.
Yeah, so, it's like the full circle of the cigar process. You know?
Exactly.
You could start off with, you know, great soil. And then you can build it into a great wrap.
Right.
And then, you know, does it age properly?
Absolutely.
And for you to have like that 7-year kind of like hindsight approach on it
really
goes to show. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's like you're going to want to enjoy your work. And, you know, on either side of the business or in any side of the business, essentially.
And it's not all. Some cigars have aged for years and they smoke the same. So,
yeah.
You know, in this case, though, I noticed the difference. It's great. I like it. If you are in the Denver area and you are looking for a well-aged, out-of-circulation cigar that you can't pick up any or everywhere,
where would I find that at, Neil?
Villiger Talanga can be found at Capital Cigars, 919 East Colfax, Denver, Colorado, 80218. And we're available for pickup and curbside at the moment, but we will be back to our wonderful lounge soon. Connor, it was a pleasure.
Oh, it was a pleasure for filling in for Greg and being in front of the mic the whole time. Definitely a little nervous, you know, but getting my training wheels off, you know.
You knocked it out the park.
Appreciate that, man.
You Babe Roofed it, man. We're going to close out. If you are looking to reach out to us, you can find us at Bet Your Ash Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also find any of our episodes on any of the streaming. We're all over. I mean, we're streaming on Spotify. You name it, you could. Yeah, and if you can't find it, just type it into Google. It'll find it for you. Okay? Absolutely. So, we want to close this episode up, and we want to thank our staff and creator, I would say, team. Not staff. I never did like that word. Team. We are a team here at Bet Your Ash. And we want to thank Binsky with our creative input. And him and Greg are hammering out some creative designs for some t-shirts out there right now in Portland. Can't wait to see those. They'll be out to you guys soon. We also want to thank Connor for all the technical insights that he's given us throughout the years, and also for this particular podcast that he is actually co-hosting on at the moment. We also want to thank Tyler. He reaches out to all of our listeners and also our marketing person. That without him, you probably guys probably wouldn't see us on certain social media platforms. Thank you so much, Tyler. We also want to thank Stephen Hobbs. Without Stephen Hobbs, none of this would be possible, and we really want to give our thanks to him. You guys, next week, we'll see you.
Boost Mobile tiene una gran oferta para que aproveches tu reembolso de impuestos al máximo y te mantengas conectado. Al cambiarte a Boost, recibe un 50% de descuento en tu primer mes de datos ilimitados. O, con un plan ilimitado de $40, llévate un Samsung Galaxy A15 5G por $39.99. Obtén los mejores teléfonos en las redes 5G más grandes del país. Con Boost Mobile, cambiarse es fácil. Solo visita BoostMobile.com. Boost Mobile, sin miedo al éxito. Para clientes nuevos y solamente en línea, requiere AutoPay. 50% de descuento en el primer mes requiere un plan de $25 al mes. Aplican otras restricciones. Visita Boost Mobile.com para detalles.